Blog Talk Radio.
Get out of you, but down in Alabama, in Mississippi, and Boston.
hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm, patient turn must be that we have cooled off too long. And if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
It is Wednesday night, and you know what that means. We're with Maximize Your Life show with Reverend Morale P. Brown. Coach Morale, do you want to maximize the opportunities in your life and your leadership? Special guest today, very special subject matter, Mrs. Chiquita Brockington, and the topic is important to know about your health and your family medical history. And let's bring on the host with the most herself, Coach Morale. Give her a nice hand. Okay, people, don't go to sleep on me now. All right.
Hello, audience. Hi, Max fam. Hey, Dr. Ron, how are you this evening?
Hey, finding yourself.
This beautiful Wednesday evening. I am doing fine. Thank you so much, Dr. Ron. Wow, it's certainly a pleasure to be on once again. I call this Wednesday getting over the hump. Woo! My goodness, we're in the middle. A couple of days down and a couple more days to go. For those who are working for someone or self-employed, prayerfully you'll be taking a break on the weekend. Either way, we're on tonight to help you maximize your life and help you in to develop the leader abilities that you have and the leader that you are. So Dr. Ron, is always a pleasure just to be able to think about what our audience, their wants and their needs. And I made a decision from last week that it's good to now do as much talk or encouragement in terms of health. And I just believe, based on a conversation my former coworker and I, we had last week, in terms of the HIPAA law, what is your rights in terms of privacy, especially during this pandemic? Unfortunately, Dr. Ron, I'm sure people even in our audience and even as myself have lost either family members or friends due to COVID-19.
Yes.
Or the residual effects of COVID-19, where people have been refused hospitalization because of the fact that there's no room. And so they're dying from heart attacks and dying from not being able to get certain types of surgeries. And so it's just a very crucial time, Dr. Ron, that we're living in. And,
yes.
You know, it's very interesting. And, you know, if I may say on my show, you know, my heart goes out to our co-radio host, Brother
yes.
Greg Hall, who passed
yes.
away. And, you know, that was just really a shock to most of us. And but one thing I'll say is that encourages me even more as we're living in these crucial times to be able to equip and educate people to be able to use their giftings. I call it the tag, the talents, the abilities, and the giftings like never before, so that you can maximize in life and in leadership. And when I think of Brother Greg, for those that is not familiar with him, he was hosting on Christian Fellowship Council with the eloquent radio host of like 25 years, Willie Saunders, and I had the pleasure of meeting him there on that station, and then he invited me here on to the Neo Nation, the New Economic Opportunity, and they're changing it to Negro Economic Opportunity with Dr. Winborn. And I was on his show first, and then the illustrious Dr. Ron himself, you picked me up, and then here we go. And so I owe a lot of credit to him. The other thing I
yes.
think about in terms of his life that, you know, he was a born-again Christian. He was a believer. And therefore, Ron, I'm encouraged not to mourn and to be in sorrow
yes.
as if, you know, there's no hope for him. Absent from
yes.
the body, we believe, is to be present with the Lord. And
amen.
Yeah, so I take comfort in that. Yes, I'm going to miss him. But what audience, Max Fam, I want to say to you with minister, and we call him Professor Greg Hall, his passion was unity. His passion
yes.
was helping one another economically and socially. And so that's just the I would say like the motto of the new economic opportunity in terms of helping one another. And so I
yes.
labor and I take out my time and I do this passionately. I don't do it because I have to do it or I'm forced to do it. I do it because I want to do it to be able to feel your hearts and your mind and give you what you desire. And I just believe at this point, Dr. Ron, learning about the HIPAA law or the privacy rule is so important. And
yes.
so with that being said, audience, again, just like last week, when we are giving information that has to do with medical information, health information, we are not giving you medical advice. We are not saying to you get vaccinated or don't get vaccinated. We're not saying to you, use herbs and spices or use the traditional medicine. We're not giving out that type of advice. And I do welcome the call. You know, it's just, it's where people are. And I also believe, Dr. Ron, that we're also living in a time of fear. And we talked about this last week, where if you turn on the television or, newspaper, news media, social media, you're getting so many controversial issues and contradicting statements, you know. And so we're really in a very challenging time in history. And I just believe that as we do our due diligence here on the Maximize Your Life show, we say that to you. Please do your due diligence based on the even information that we give you. Again, we're not professionals. We are not giving out legal or medical advice, but we're here to empower you to get educated and do your due diligence. Because, Dr. Ron, what I'm learning more and more is that there are more people, it appears that there are more people who are walking in fear, walking in insecurity, walking in limbo, walking in hopelessness because of the lack of knowledge. And there's a scripture that says, my people are perishing, or they're walking in fear and they're not maximizing in life because they're not getting the knowledge. And then to turn that knowledge into applying it to their lives, and then it becomes the wisdom. And then they can say, you know what, I understand the HIPAA law, or I understand my rights as far as vaccination or not being vaccinated. I understand some health measures I would take, and they could come to a very intelligent decision so that they won't succumb to the fear that's in the media and the divisiveness that's in the media or within families. And so I'm passionate, Dr. Ron, just to briefly just hit on the HIPAA law. Basically, it's where you as a person who seek any type of medical help, you do not have to disclose your health conditions to a doctor. And I'll just read the summary of it. The summary of the HIPAA privacy rule is this. It's a summary of key elements of privacy rule, including who is covered, what information is protected, and how protected the health information can be used and disclosed. So under the HIPAA law, there are certain mediating circumstances or situations where your rights will not be protected. And I'll just give you a quick example, especially when it comes down to perhaps some type of pandemics that we're dealing with today. and where you no longer will have the individual rights because they're looking at the rights of the masses as a whole. And it's interesting because it says the standard for privacy of individuality, they call it identifiable health information, meaning when they would know who you are, where you live, did you donate blood or did you get the flu shot or did you get the vaccine shot, when they can identify who you are, those information technically is limited. And or the transfer of your information, for example, when you go to, let's just say you go to Atrium here in North Carolina, there's Atrium, and you select your doctor. Your doctor cannot, without your permission, transfer your records from your former doctor to your new doctor. That's how protected your information is. What is that I'm seeing, Dr. Ron, is that you visit your primary physician, usually twice a year, preventive care, preventive maintenance. You know, you get your blood pressure checked and your health information. And so their concern now is, did you take the vaccination? All right, did you take the vaccine? I'm seeing and experiencing is that they're giving authorization to ask you this particular private information. And then there was also an invitation that came through the mail where even Atrium is saying, hey, we can come to your personal residence and meet with you about health. And so you can just see little by little, there is a campaign. Now, we're not talking about the campaign as far as politics. We're talking about when you're campaigning and you're promoting, let's just say vaccination. You're promoting that everyone needs to take this vaccination. And if they don't take it, then every individual within families, within communities, within a city or a state or a country, then you need to fear that individual because they increase, quote unquote, the likelihood of contracting COVID-19. I just believe, Dr. Ron, that it's time for all of us here in America and in the seven continents, I like to say this, Asia, Africa, Antarctica, as cold as it is, they found, you know, traces of COVID-19 there among its citizens. Australia, North America, South America, and Europe. It is time for us to wake up and to understand that we need to study and learn and apply the HIPAA laws and the rights to that whatever our decision is for our body is a decision that we have made. And now, and again, there's a caveat that under certain circumstances, our rights is not protected because sometime of the masses or a pandemic. And I had a discussion with a medical person a little earlier, and so what they were saying is on their job, they are, and let me just make sure I have it correct. On their job, they are asking them to, in a sense, disclose if they decide not to take the vaccination, to disclose if they have taken a test. And, you know, as her and I were discussing it, it was like, if you take the test and your test comes back negative, why are you asking people to take a test on their job? And this is with the federal government. And the federal government, MaxFam, has different types of laws, and according to, you know, our president, Biden, you know, it's a federal law that the most employees need to be vaccinated or tested. And but in the private sector, find out what is your requirement. There's a lot of, Dr. Ron, as you're aware of, there was a lot of people in the health profession who refused to get vaccinated. And there are some jobs who are saying, if you're not vaccinated, you need to be tested every week or however, you know, the amount of time or days or whatever the case is, or month, just to prove that you're not, quote unquote, walking around with COVID-19. And I just believe, Dr. Ron, that we need to continue to be discerning. And discerning is having judgment, prudence, wisdom. And discernment, and I'm talking about in the supernatural, in terms of being able to hear that which is not being spoken, being able also to see that which is not covert, or excuse me, overt, where you is visible, where it's in the news, and to read between the lines, and to understand that we're, and I'll just, you know, say this, Dr. Ron, and I'm yet being responsible with it. We're starting to be in the era of what would be like a third world country, where the rights of the people is not promoted, and that the rights of the government, and it's what the government is saying, and we're giving too much power to government, too much power to the World Health Organization. Yes, I'm saying it, and too much power to NATO, and the what's happening is we have so much fear that's going on, and again, just losing, you know, a dear friend, and have lost some relatives, and other relatives have gotten COVID and have recovered. I am not, you know, having my head under a pillow or a cover or anything like that. I'm not in darkness. I am awoke and I am alive. And I am saying to you, we must understand that there is, and I won't get into the details of this, but when I was 14 years old and started Bible school at age 14 at Tabernacle of Prayer, we learned about these days, these times when money is failing, where now we're going into credit cards, and, you know, after a while, you know, it's just going to be just use your thumbprint or whatever. And then there's the New World Order. And so what we want to do is wake up to study history so that we can understand where we are presently. And then also, because I am a Christian, I will say study biblical prophecy, so that we'll understand the timeline of where we are, and be able to promote unity in the midst of this season of disunity. That what happened in the last 5-6 years under our former president, it's seeping, and it has, you know, seeped into 2021, unless we take hold and become educated and discerning and shrewd and unified, and say to our government that we do have rights. And, you know, the phrase, and I'll be ending in a moment, Dr. Ron, and I want to know your thoughts, that the phrase where we have the right to liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that all men have natural born rights, you know, to these rights, that we want to continue to protect our rights. And, you know, as I do say to you a lot, it's not necessarily I'm going to give you five, but what I'm saying to you is that find out what your rights are at your job, and do some pushback if necessary. And with my coworker, her son's job, I believe, it said, hey, well, we want to make sure he just had a common cold. They want to ensure that he did not have COVID-19. But when she said, so she says, he needs to get a test. And she says, well, what about my HIPAA rights? And then the person on the other line got quiet. And what you want to do is know what your rights are. Know what your rights are. And then don't allow fear to put you in a panic, paranoia, and where you are now harassing family members because they got vaccinated, you know, That's division. That's divisiveness. We don't want to be divided within the homes, because under this pandemic, a lot of people, domestic violence and violence everywhere, child abuse, domestic violence, the spousal abuse, elder abuse, all of that increased under this pandemic. And therefore, if the house is divided against itself, Dr. Ron, Max Pham, we cannot stand. So we want to hear the news and be discerning about the news. And we want to hear our government and be discerning about the government. And we want to hear what World Health Organization has to say, but we want to be discerning about it. And the same thing with NATO and every other society. We want to be shrewd. So, Dr. Ron, you know, just tell me your thoughts on the HIPAA law.
Yes. It's quite obvious that we're living in perilous times. And government agencies, the WHO, the CDC, the epidemiology community, together with political, social, and economic situations, are pushing tremendously for vaccination. My daughter, my youngest child, works in the hospital, secretarial administrative, and she got fired because she refused to take the vaccination.
Right.
And as you say, the HIPAA laws, the fact that people can be evasive, you know, in terms of, but they are invading, actually the word invading your privacy. They can definitely ask you now. I mean, the president made it very clear that federal government employees will be asked to take a vaccination exam per week.
Yeah.
They're going to check to make sure they have taken if they didn't have taken the vaccination, they're going to check them every week to make sure they did. And then there's going to be a limited time where if you do not take it, you will be dismissed, fired, whatever. So we live in perilous times. I mean, the Bible talk about these times, as you said, these times are coming. There is a reason. The Bible said that the storm is going to come. And he said to us, the storm is not going to be very lightly on the man who loved Jesus, or the man who loved God, or the man who's a man of faith. It's going to hit him just like it hit the man who has no faith, the man who's not loving God. The storm is going to come. The Bible says the storm is going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come with equal immensity on both houses. But the Bible says one man built his house on solid rock, and the other man built his house, a foolish man built his house on sinking sand.
Mm.
And that means that when you build your house on solid rock, on Christ, on the Creator, whatever comes, you're going to be able to handle it. Whatever that means to you as an individual person, between you and your Creator, whatever religion that you sustain to, you know, that between you and the Creator. But God is letting us know that this storm is coming.
Right.
And as we see today in the conditions that we're in right now with this pandemic, this corona, the variants and all the other stuff, the socioeconomics, the pressure, the wars, the famine, the fire, the storms. I never seen a storm hit New York like it did this year.
Oh, my God.
And people sitting in cars. And the cars, the water's going above the car, and the woman is sitting there, and the newsman is reporting, oh, my God, look at her. She's sitting there. Instead of him jumping over the fence and trying to see if he can help her. Because once that water gets to a certain level, you can't open that door. And you can't pull the window down. It's going to be devastating. So things that we... what they said, the last days, wars and rumors of wars, famine and mother against daughter, daughter against mother, son against father against son. It's
Dr.
confusion.
Ron.
And God said confusion. He's not involved in confusion. But he let us know that we got to build our house on something solid. You know, on Christ I stand, all other things are sinking sand. You have to build your house on something solid. So when it comes, you're prepared. The Bible says, be ye always prepared. Put on the full armor of God when you leave your house and pray in season and out of season. Keep praying. Pray for your children. You know, this is extremely important. So that's a combination of it. You know what I'm saying? It's a combination of spiritual experiences that we're having in this natural body. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of common sense things. I mean, you know, if you read your word, the Bible says, beloved, think it not strange that a fiery trial to come upon thee as a strange thing, but they were coming.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying everybody's going to be prepared. I'm not saying everybody's going to think in that likeness, but I'm just saying to people, be careful and think clearly of what's happening now. Because I personally never seen it like this before. Never thought I would lose people and that I'm losing around me. I'm losing family. I'm losing friends. You know, never thought it would just happen like this. You know, I didn't take the vaccination, but I'm saying even in under the conditions, you know, it makes you think deeper and deeper and deeper about a lot of things, what it is, where it's coming from, how does it affect a person, if a person has a compromised immune system or not, you know.
Right.
And so these are perilous times, and that just means that there's no conjecture. Like, you can't say, okay, this is happening because of this, this happened because of that. Yeah. It's perilous. It's unseen things. It's things that don't make logical sense. But we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. So I tell, you know, people, be aware of your physical condition. Do seek medical evaluation. Do seek if you have a provider, you know, a primary care provider, as they say. If you don't have one, go seek one. Go to the medical centers. Everything now is, you know, medically covered by certain insurances that you can get from your state, the city, the federal.
Yeah.
You get exam. You need to know what's going on with your body. You need to know whether you're a compromised immune system, whether you have heart condition, high blood pressure, whether your liver is intact, if your kidneys are operating correctly, because all of this stuff, even your sensories, your nervous system, your cardiovascular system, all these things are being attacked by this virus. Even your heart is being attacked, and your blood vessels are being clogged. People are getting clogged blood vessels. I know two young men that took the vaccination end up getting blood clots. One was 8, another one was 12, and they passed. The children, you know, it's so terrible because they're in a quagmire. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are, Doctor.
And their parents are being and the parents are being put into a nervous position. So Coach Morrell, I think God is saying something, and I think it's time for us to get closer to him. I think it's time for us to love more. I think it's time for us to give up hatred. I think it's time for us to really get in serious prayer. I think there's going to come serious time for fasting and praying. The Bible says these things should come through fasting and praying. I think it's time for those who God said, not Ron Robinson, the Bible said, God said, if my people will turn away from their wicked ways and seek me. And then I can hear from heaven and I should heal the land. The land is not healed because the people of God have to do what they're supposed to do. And we have to get close and be real about what God said, come to him like a child with that spirit of a child and be spirit in truth. Spirit in truth. Be who be real with God. And we need him more than ever. We need to pray more than ever. We need to be kind. The Bible says, "Be kind to the stranger kind to the foreigner, and be careful how you entertain the stranger." Sorry, be kind to the foreigner and be careful how you entertain the stranger. That means everybody should be loved. Everybody should be cared for. You know, I was upset the way the children was being treated from coming over the border from Mexico, putting in caves and treated like animals.
Yes.
And there were rumors of them being molested, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm sure.
And they're human beings. They're children.
Exactly.
I was upset when the Israeli government went into Palestine and just bust the people's doors down, and little children are crying for their parents, and there was abusive. This got to stop. The Taliban, the abuse of the people, jumping on airplanes, on the outside of the airplane to get to America. These types of things have to stop. We, as a people of a nation that has some level of economy and power, those who have power have to step up to the plate and do the right by those who are the weaker. The Bible said, the poor you always will have with you. And God said, you've done it to least the last of these, you've done it to me. And if you so love me, go feed my sheep. So he gave us enough instructions. We have to have more compassion. We have to have more compassion for others, and we have to step out and help one another. And I think these things that are going on right now should bring us together, not make us separate.
Yes.
I think government should be, I'm a great believer that government should offer homeopathic medicine, natural healing medicine, herbs to those who do not want a vaccination. I think that would help us cover everyone to be secure and be protected. And you can go ahead and monitor it in the laboratories, and the doctors can monitor the natural homeopathic medicine, and we could try to get everybody healed. It's a lot. And if I may say something, if you don't mind, if I take 1 minute to say something about Brother Gregory Hall, whom I know for 30 years.
No, definitely. My pleasure. Go ahead.
I happen to co-pastor several churches in which he was the maestro. He was a choir director. And if you know anything about choir directing, one thing he told me when I first met him, and I sat down and talked to him about the music in the church, setting up the music ministry in our church, he said to me, I'm a minister as well. Music is the ministry of the church. And he did it that way. He did it. I mean, when I got up to preach, he would make a selection that would just open the doors for my sermon, and he would pick a selection that will close the doors for my sermon. It's so important. The music in the church is so important. And the choir director, how he takes the junior choir, the senior choir, the church choir, and put them together and make them hum so sweetly. Greg was just a master of the black church, the Negro gospels. Yeah. He studied at Juilliard. He was a concert pianist.
Oh, wow.
He could make a humming organ sing like a bird.
Yeah.
He had studied also at New York Music of Art, New York University of Music of Art for several years. And he was a classic pianist, and he had also he played in classical piano, and definitely played in the church is a classical pianist. Yeah. If you really listen to the old gospel hymns, they were very well operatically sang, and the piano coordination with the music was all classical, very classical. So he was a master of what he did. He loved what he did. He only did that. He did many other things, and he loved people. He loved the church. He loved the gospels and the hymns. He would teach the young people the old gospel hymns and the history. He knew the history behind the hymns. They're very historical. And and he was just he played at some of the smallest churches, and he played at some of the biggest cathedrals that you can think of. And he played for some of the greatest preachers ever in the Baptist churches and the non-denominational and the Pentecostal. And he played in some classical pianists for the Catholic Church. So he was a musician of a high quality. Very well trained, very well educated, and he definitely would be missed by the church community and all of his friends and everyone that knew him. So I just wanted to let people know a little bit about his background, because he's a very unassuming person, you know. People wouldn't know
really
how great
of he really is. I would have known all of that. I knew 50 years, something like that, and, you know, as a pianist. You know, so I mean, and my heart goes out to his dad, who's 92. So Max fam, keep the Hall family in your prayers, you know. So it's a lot. It's a lot on us as a people. And I think of his legacy, Reap More, you know, let's network together. And that was always his passion. And always Dr. Ron working on a way or a system or a program so that he can help other people economically and bring people together in resources. And that's what, you know, Dr. Ron, I was thinking today, you know, I had to run an errand, and I was just saying that's what life is really about, and you talked about it so eloquently. And so what we're going to do is just, you know, hear from our audience. It's 7:40, so we just want to give them some time just to you know, if they have any questions, you know, we'll answer them the best way we can, or we'll table it for another time. But being able to help our people, educate our people in terms of their HIPAA law. And again, we're not experts, you know, we're just shedding some light. And you know, you want to do your due diligence. And so, you know, Dr. Ron, we'll continue to pray for the Hall family and anyone who just lost anyone, family, friends, relative, neighbors. And then just it's about hope. And I'll talk about that just a little bit later. It's about hope and to know that it looks very dismal. It looks like the Death Angel's winning. But as I was talking to Willie Saunders on Christian Fellowship Council Radio earlier today, there's the angel of light. You know, babies are being born. Miracles are happening. People are getting healed from COVID. And families are getting stronger. And so I know we brought you that dismal part. But know that where darkness is, the light of God permeates. And so, you know, in the meantime, let's continue to love one another. And that's what we can do. And so, Dr. Ron, if we can just, and thank you again for your input.
Okay.
So eloquently put, if we can just go ahead and open up the lines, that would be great.
Yes, we're going to open up 919-998-918-998. Your mic is open.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Ron. And hello, Reverend Morrell. This is Pam Kelly.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
How are you?
Doing well. And, you know, you all have expressed such prophetic comments on the way things are at this time, not only in the U.S., but around the world. We truly are experiencing a reset in terms of what God is trying to do is get our attention. We have not been good stewards of children around the world.
Yes.
And if you remember, the Lord came to earth as a baby. That should have told us that that is our priority, to take care of our children.
Absolutely.
And with regard to the HIPAA laws, very good information. And I must
say that,
you know, there's two situations, federal workplaces and private workplaces. And as Dr. Ron mentioned, we have to do due diligence because, for instance, North Carolina is an at-will state.
Yes, it is.
So with private businesses, if they say that they want you to take the vaccine, you're going to have to take the vaccine regardless of HIPAA considerations or face the consequences. It's not fair, but then fairness does not exist. It's my two cents that fairness is a myth. There's equity and there's justice, but fairness, that's we always want fairness. But when it comes to the law, we have to do due diligence. And and with regard to the time, I agree with Dr. Ron that as it says, if the Lord is telling us, if my people are called by my name, we have to get our finances, our spirit, and our strategy in accordance with God's will. And, you know, when we don't do that, we're experiencing the things that are happening now. So all good information.
Thank you.
You know, I'm just in accordance with so much of what you're saying. So great program this evening.
Well, thank you so much, Pam Kelly. That is my limitless sister from the American Business Women Association. She is a secretary of the Charlotte chapter, Limited Ladies, headed by Linda Johnson, and thank you for those wonderful words and affirming what we are saying. You know, tell me about your word preparedness, just real quick.
Well, and by the way, September is Preparedness Month, National Preparedness Month. So the things that you're talking about are so relevant in terms of, again, due diligence, knowing our rights, and knowing the limitations, in fact, of our rights within the workplace. So all the more reason we have to advocate for ourselves personally with our health. Every family, we just had a holiday, Labor Day holiday. I would suggest that every September, especially Labor Day, families get together. We need, as a people, as a culture, to be more preparedness-driven. And I've spoken with quite a few people, and that, you know, that may know me, and that's one of my my favorite words, because faith and preparedness, there's so much power in that is complementary to what is said in the Bible. As Dr. Ron said, you know, preparedness, it's in the Bible, and faith and preparedness is what we need to be about doing, especially in this month. So this is a great month for families to start doing that.
Yes, I believe that. And you know, perhaps even next week we'll cover that, you know, just more preparedness and having a plan. You know, Dr. Ron mentioned this about the flood in New York. You know, I lived in New York for about 40-something years. And so I understand that, wow, water coming up, you know, into the cars and the subway.
Yeah. Well, I was born in New York. I'm very well familiar with the with the basement apartments. A lot of the brownstones have basement apartments. Some things, you know, there is no perfect preparedness plan. And all the more what's going on in the world, the whole world was not prepared for the pandemic. And all of the natural events that are happening. So in spite of our best preparedness plan, that's where faith has the greatest power to enable us to endure and be resilient and not only to survive but thrive again. So we just have to keep folks in prayer and do our best to prepare spiritually, financially, and strategically.
So. Yes. Wow. Thank you so much. That was, I mean, so eloquently said and heartfelt and passionate. Thank you so much. Wow.
Well, thank you for all that you're doing.
You're welcome. Reverend My Lorraine. Pleasure. I'm being energized. I'll call her. Dr. Linda has been energizing me.
Amen.
Yes. Dr. Ron, do we have anyone else?
Yeah, we have a right in the studio here. Came to visit me, good brother here, Dr. Benjamin Bridges from Spiritual Unity and Meditation. And which will be on tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And he'd like to say something in reference to our conversation today.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm glad to get a chance to definitely speak in regards to what you guys are saying, because I believe you guys have really touched base on some very powerful and important things for us to think about. And thing that I really would like to, you know, touch base on as well, which is, you know, some of the things that you guys spoke on as well. But one of the things I think that's very important that we need to do is to really raise our consciousness to higher heights in God and Christ. And in doing so, that will give us the power to be able to really make some positive changes in our community and in our own personal lives as well. Because one of the big problems that occur is that when you're in a society that tells you that you can only do very little and you're a very limited person that can't achieve success and you have to stay in your lane of poverty and things like that, that, you know, really becomes a problem, because over the 400 and some odd years that we've been in slavery and in oppression and things like that, one of the main things they want to do also is to definitely place within your mind and your consciousness to conceive that you cannot accomplish things and, you know, really make things happen. But that's a lie, and that's the devil's lie, because the devil doesn't want to see you raise your consciousness in God or Christ either, because imagine what you would be able to do and to be able to accomplish if you became in oneness with God, if you were able to actually activate the power of God within you to do great, awesome, and amazing things. That would be able to turn things around that we're facing right now that has really been holding us back for a long time. Because we would be free from poverty. We would be free from a lot of the oppressive ways that we see ourselves in today. And we would be able to really turn a lot of things around, not only here in this country, but also in other countries as well. But that's where spiritual unity comes into play, when we come together in harmony with one another, regardless of whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Christian, instead of holding those unfortunate walls of spiritual hatred that we have for one another, because, listen, if you ain't a Christian, I don't want nothing to do with you. Forget you, you know. If you're not a Muslim, I don't want nothing to do with you either. And, you know, all of those crazy thoughts are, what do they call it? Divide and conquer. Because if you can stay at each other's throats because you're not in the same religion, that's not a good thing. We should put those walls of hatred down and start to really come together in harmony, in unity, and then we could start to work together to really bring about some awesome and amazing things that can happen. All we have to do is raise our consciousness to higher heights in God and Christ, and we'll start to see a lot of positive things happening for us individually and also for our community.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Benjamin, just for sharing your wealth of information and your wisdom. And I believe that like never before, it is to be, you know, and I hear your voice of champion for harmony and unity, regardless of your religious belief, your religious system, your religious upbringing, that this is the time that when we all have the same mind, can you imagine what we can do? And as Ms. Pam Kelly just said earlier, strategies, understanding, you know, spirituality, what we need to be doing, and then also financially. And that's where that unity comes in. So thank you so much for adding to our show. You know, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, my sister. I appreciate it as well. And one thing I just wanted to share with you is that, you know, in dealing with you know, our spiritual unity group, you know, we've been in this for the fourth week. And one thing I will say is I have not heard any reports, and this is something that we've been focusing on, where the youth are killing each other right now. And they've been doing that off and on for a good while. But now that we've been coming together in spiritual unity, I have not heard any reports of our youth killing each other. So that's a good thing, and it shows that we can get some positive results. We just need to believe it, and then we'll be able to achieve it.
Yes, yes. Great. And I want to ask you, Dr. Benjamin, let me ask you a quick question. So where are you located? Are you in New York?
Correct. I'm in the Mount Vernon area, New York.
Okay, great. That's a great report. And just to be able to highlight that when you have positive programs that are bringing young people together and to build them up and to help them to use their abilities, I'm going to go with the maximization motto, to use their abilities, then they can make and maximize, make great impact and make it the most of their situations where they're offered. Kudos to you, and my hat goes off, tip my hat and my curls to you, Dr. Benjamin.
Well, thank
Dr.
you.
Anybody else?
Yes, we have a text message. Melvin Brown from Brooklyn, New York. He wanted to know in terms of HIPAA law, are they applying to federal workers, state workers? Is it city workers, or is it workers in general?
Yeah, well, there's definitely one, and I'm looking at it right now, where is the federal law. It says United States President Joe Biden announced a new measure on and this is around August 1st news, requiring all federal workers and on-site contracts to verify that they received the COVID-19 vaccine. So that, you know, as long as, and Ms. Pam Kelly said this a little earlier, in terms of the HIPAA law, this is where they believe that, you know, your rights can, be, in a sense, be eroded. So for the masses of the people, unvaccinated federal employees will face mandatory masking, weekly testing, and travel restrictions. And then it says the White House new policy reflects concerns over the Delta variant, which is increasing the rate of infection and the number of hospitalizations throughout the nation. And then it's saying simultaneously vaccination rates have installed. And I'm going to just study to be quiet on that for a moment. And then, as he said, do your due diligence. Find out what are your rights. Private employers may have a different, you know, rule. It all depends. And here in North Carolina, as she said, it's an at-will state. So, again, when it comes down to, and I'll just say this overall, why we want to continue to be cognizant, conscientious, and awoke to understand that we cannot be cultivated in fear, that we really have to strategize. We have to come up with a plan and come up with a viable plan and unify in our plan so that we can now provide jobs and better jobs for those people who are going to be out of work that refuse to get vaccinated. So when people are, and I don't really want to go on a tangent, but when they're criticizing other people saying, hey, you don't want to go to work, your unemployment just ran out, are you going to go back to work? You know, it's like we need to study to be quiet, sometimes mind our business, and allow people to strategize what's going to be best for their health. If you're saying there is a total pandemic and the variant is worse than COVID-19 itself, then why are you requiring everybody to go back to work right now? Why are you thrusting our children, and yes, I'm getting passionate, back into the school? And now you're messing with God's little children, and he doesn't take kindly to that, you know. He said, permit the children to come to him, you know. And so we want to pull together spiritually, as Dr. Benjamin was saying, so that we can strategize. And it's not about religion. It's not about ideology, but it's about we need to now save and preserve our sanity and our peace and our community and continue to unify and love one another. Okay, Dr. Ron, we have anybody else? Dr. Ron?
Yes, yes, sorry about that. I was on mute.
That's
doing
okay.
A lot of talking here. Okay, we have Darlene Morphinson. She's from Charlottesville, South Dakota, and she wants to know, are there any way to, one, protect themselves if they do not want to get the vaccination? Is there any way one can protest it or legally contest it to keep their employment?
Okay, this is what I'm understanding. Thank you, Dr. Ron, for that question. Thank you, Darlene. This is what I'm understanding, that there are individuals who are Christians or could be Muslims, you know, Jews, that they are using their religious rights to get exempt from those vaccinations. That's what I'm understanding. And I will say we still got to pray because, again, we're at this place when it comes down to all due respect to the World Health Organization and NATO and CDC and our, you know, government, that, again, if a person decides, hey, I don't want to take the flu shot, you know, there shouldn't be this scare tactic around it, or the same thing with the vaccination, that this person is going to increase the likelihood of everybody else getting COVID. And that's not it. It's the individuals, you know, that are being careless and not watching how they cough. I remember Dr. Ron, you know, just to answer Darlene's question, I remember, you know, at times church, people know they were sick. They knew they had the flu. They knew that they had almost like the whooping cough, but they still came to church. And I'm sure that happened in the mosque and in the synagogue. And so, you know, people like, you know, what happened? Why are you weren't at church? Oh, I was sick. Well, you need to still cut, those type of things. And now we are more conscientious that if you do have a cold, runny nose, or anything like that, just be careful. And so it's helping us to be more careful. And so whether you're vaccinated or you're not vaccinated, just take care of your body. Take care of yourself. I plan to have a doctor on next week. I've reached out a few of my friends and associates and see if we can get a doctor on. Because I'm here now. I'm here now, and I do believe that people want answers. And I know the water gets to be murky, but, hey, we've been living with murky for the last 6 years under our former president. And we don't know everything. We're not attempting to give you legal advice. But legally, it depends on the state that you live in, and then look up your religious rights. And I remember some years ago, Dr. Ron, when I was, I think I was getting my bachelor's degree, and I had getting an exemption, or I wanted to get an exemption from my church, and they were too afraid to write the letter for me, you know.
Wow.
So it depends on, yeah, so it depends on where that your leader is, the administrative department of the church or the mosque or the temple, and exercise your rights. And then, you know, I'm going to start covering even more business. And we had Ms. Margaret on Young on last week, you know, just person that could help set up the LLCs and can set up a nonprofit so that we can now become, as, you know, Ms. Pam was saying, Pam Kelly, economically more viable and setting ourselves
right.
up so that we can provide jobs for those that prefer not to go back into the medical field or the restaurants, and so that they
right.
could sustain for themselves and their family. And so that's important.
Well, you know, in terms of churches and stuff like that, they're so tied into governmental policies now because of
yes,
subsidized, subsidized
yes,
funding,
are.
Et cetera. And I remember we have a big food pantry in our church in the Bronx, New York, and
yes.
they told us we could not give out Christian literature, nor could we pray or do anything reference to say the word Jesus and say, et cetera, et cetera. And that people were not allowed to come
mm-hmm.
to the church no more to get the food. They had to stay outside. So
wow.
my pastor decided after many days of prayer that we would not accept government subsidies or help anymore because we wanted
right.
to expand on the word of God. Everything comes through him. You know, everything comes through
Absolutely.
Him. So there's no way for us to deny that. So, you know, but that's individual choices as well. Well, we're
yes,
on the other
is.
Side. And oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
My guest is here.
She is here. She is here. She is
awesome.
Here. Mrs. Takita Brockington.
Chiquetta.
And special subject matter today as well. Let's give a nice hand and welcome her in.
I am tickled pink. Hey, Miss Chiquetta Brockington, how are you?
Good evening. How are you? I'm good.
Good, good. Welcome to the Maximize Your Life show. Wow, wow. Thank you just for being our wonderful guest. As you were listening on, we were just talking about the HIPAA law. We didn't go into a lot of details, but we wanted to just ignite people's their mindsets to understand that they can advocate, you know, back in the day in Brooklyn, we say take up for themselves and then just do their due diligence and what their rights are. And so now we're going to take this segment, Ms. Brockington, to a whole nother level. And I'm happy because this is like an installment now on just bringing in medical professionals, and you are one, and I'm so excited. And so, listen, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
well, I am Morel Brown's niece.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
My mother is her older sister, and I'm a native of Charleston, South Carolina. I just
yes.
recently completed my
That's because you're her niece and you're from South Carolina.
Please.
I just completed my certification as a certified clinical medical assistant. I'm also a certified medical administrative assistant, and I am CPR certified as well, working towards becoming a registered medical assistant. And I just truly intentionally intend on taking this as far as we can go. I will be going back to school to pursue my registered nursing. So, yeah. Oh, I have a 9-year-old. Her name is Sydney.
Yes.
That's about it.
Well, that is good. Wow, wow. You are really equipping yourself, and I believe it is so important that we realize, and I was talking to an auditor earlier today, in terms of Hidden Figures, we have it, you know, Ms. Brockton, we really do have it. And so it's not a surprise that you are, you know, moving from the medical assistant all the way to being a registered nurse. And then if you decide, hey, if you want to be a doctor, the world is there for you. And so I'm so proud of you. And I have a question. How long did it take you to get your medical assistant?
The certification program at Southeastern College is 14 months long. We do 12 months of in the classroom training, and then we do 2 months of on-site training at various sites like hospitals, doctor's offices, and insurance offices for medical, for people who cannot have or cannot afford to have medical insurance. So they have programs like Medicaid and government assistance, basically, if they fall below 30% of the income, poverty level, excuse me, where they can get assistance for medical insurance so that they can be able to see a doctor.
Right. Okay, that's good. That's good to know, too, because sometimes people, you know, Dr. Ron said this earlier, in terms of your health and knowing your health status, and I know you're going to get into that a little bit more, but for those that do not have insurance or don't have Obamacare, or any HMO, you know, being able to know that. I know that there was a point in time, and if somebody want to call in and clarify, where you could not be refused medical treatment, but I think that I'm not sure what's happening there. I think it's like, you know, being eroded. I'm not that sure. But so what you're saying is that even if you don't have any coverages, there are programs where you can come, and I believe those would be the self-pay or something like that.
I don't know if you recall, but when Obamacare came out, they had a clause where it said that medical professionals cannot refuse you service, regardless of whether you have it or not. Mm-hmm. They cannot refuse you service. And since it makes you self-pay, where you become 100% responsible for your medical bills.
Yes. Okay. That's good. So they make a way that everyone can get care. And why I'm stressing this, because some people will say, listen, I have a runny nose, or I have a headache, and I've had this headache for days, or whatever it may be, a stomach ache, and you're like, I don't have any coverage, but just know that legally they should not refuse you. And you don't have to lie and say you're having a heart attack in order to be seen right away, but to be able to say, okay, now I can go under a doctor's care to see what's going on. And then from there, you make that decision if you want to go with the herbs and or a traditional way of healing yourself. Thank you so much.
Can I add to that as well, Coach Morrell? I just want to say in what Mrs. Brockington is saying as well. The only place that cannot deny you medical services is an emergency room.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Okay, so the emergency room cannot deny you.
Correct.
Okay, all right. And then at the same time, if you don't have coverage, you can get that coverage. So that's, either way you win, it's just, again, goes right back to being educated, asking those questions. I was on the line yesterday taking care of some business, and I just said, you know what, I can only ask these people. They say no, then no is the answer, but good. I mean, well, if I don't ask them, then I'll never know. And so I'm just empowering you, MacFam, to ask those questions, find out, and don't be afraid. And as our teachers used to say to us some years ago, there is no such thing as a dumb question. It's just when you don't ask those questions. It's not that you're dumb or anything like that. You just want to get the assertiveness, the boldness, and the confidence that you need. I call it ABC. And so, Shaquetta, you know, when I think about medical, I was sharing with you yesterday that when I was in high school, I felt this passion to become a nurse, to care for someone. And my guidance counselor pretty much said to me, hey, you're not doing that well in math, and you need to know how to measure the medicine and the dosage and all of that and the pills. And I became intimidated. I allowed what she said to intimidate me. So how do you navigate the terminology? Because sometimes it sounds like Greek to me. So how did you conquer that?
Well, with the medical terminology, it is very difficult to break down. But we learn to go based off of the root word.
Okay.
And I can't remember it off the top of my head. It's almost like a foreign language.
Yes, it is.
Once you break it down, it becomes easier to understand. And the more you study it, it becomes more knowledgeable to you.
Yes, yes. Okay. And it's interesting because, you know, like you said, the systems, studying the systems of the body, oh, I'm saying this part, and breaking it down, because a lot of those words are Latin. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so understanding the prefix, which is audience, the beginning of those words, and then the suffix, mm-hmm. which is the ending of those words, and then putting them together. Wow, that's good. That's good. In terms of what advice would you give a person coming up in this industry?
Some advice I would give a person that's coming up in the medical field is to research for yourself. Teach yourself.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
you're only going to learn so much in the classroom. Like, my program
right.
was an accelerated program, so everything was on the timeline.
Okay.
I think we were doing, like, 8 weeks per class.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to grasp it really hard and really fast, or else you were going to be left behind. There was a time to slip up and say, okay, I can catch it next round. No.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't me. Yeah, my teacher was 2 days behind my stubbornness and frustration. But, you know, you just have to be willing to learn and willing to teach yourself so that you can gain the knowledge that you're lacking if you're in an accelerated program.
Yes. Okay. Wow. And that's interesting, because I remember when I caught myself trying to rush out of college, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to take a biology course in the summer. Why did I do that? You don't want to do biology in the summer unless you really, you know, real, you know, there, whatever. You know, I'm not going to knock myself. But I did the best I could. I did good with biology in elementary. But in college, it's a whole different, like you said, fast and terminologies and stuff. And now we're just going to get to the meat of our topic. What is your passion? What is your passion? You know, I know you went to school and you're working and everything, but what is your passion, and what do you want to, you know, what do you want to share with your people? What are your voice? What is your voice right now in this hour, especially in these critical times?
My passion is just providing adequate health care and making sure that my patients know that I'm understanding, I'm empathetic, that I'm not just there for the money.
Mm,
you know,
that's
a lot of lack within the healthcare system. You know, these doctors, some of them are just there to just pay off those student loans. You know, I had that situation with one of my doctors, my primary care, matter of fact, where, you know, I'm a diabetic. So it was just a quick visit. And that quick visit cost $300.
Isn't
you know, some of them don't really pay attention to what you're there for. And then I came across another doctor, and I saw her empathy, saw her passion, I saw her concern with what I was dealing with. And I left that one doctor in the same hospital, in the same doctor's office, and I switched to her.
Yes.
You know, it is to feel like this person really cares about my health. They really want me to progress and not decline. They want me to do better than what I'm doing, you know? And that helps along the way with the person who's just like, you know, they could care less, or I could care less about it. It's just what it is. These are the cards I've been dealt. I'm just going to take it as is. But for the ones who are determined, it's an extra support system.
Yes, that's important. Wow. And, you know, Ms. Brockington, that goes back to advocating for yourself. You could have just continued to get that lackadaisical type of care, where most of the time, you know, you go in and they're looking at they're not looking at you. They're looking at the computer because everything is technology now. And you understand they're trying to read that chart because they only have like a few minutes between patients. But yet, you're like, they're not hearing me, you know. And the reality is, as a patient, we come in, we already know what we feel or what's ailing us. However, we're just not able to define perhaps the cause. And then how can we, and Dr. Moon, we talked about this earlier, how can we provide some comfort to what we're feeling or healing or wholeness to what we are feeling? And so, yeah, that bedside manners and that empathy is very important. I had the pleasure of hearing you at our family reunion in August just teach a dynamic workshop, and I'm not saying that because you're my niece, but I am putting some cream and butter on it because you are my niece, but you really broke down the importance of knowing, in a sense, like being health savvy or savvy in terms of health, knowing, and as you know, they would say sometimes your status, but just knowing, you know, as far as diabetes, knowing if you know, hypertension and your cholesterol numbers, those type of things. And you had your packages. Just talk about that a little bit in terms of making sure, and Dr. Ron talked about this earlier, that you care for yourself and you go to see a medical professional and then you make the decision if you either want to, if they prescribe medicine, do you want to take the traditional medicine or do you want to try herbs and spices and so on and so forth, you know? So just talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, with diet, it's important to know, it's very important to know your family medical history. Because even down the line later, like for me, I've been dealing with diabetes for 3 years, going on 4 years. And, you know, I've always known that diabetes was always a factor within my family history on both my maternal and paternal side. And, you know, because, let me see how I can put this. Because it runs on both sides, I knew that my body was telling me something. And that's one thing that we as African Americans do not pay attention to is the signs that our body gives us that something is wrong. And we tend to ignore those signs. Like for me, I was having terrible headaches. You know, you take medicine, you think it'll subside the pain. It doesn't. You drink water, doesn't help.
Right.
The minute you drink some sugary, it chills, you know?
Yes.
And that's so I say, okay, something's wrong. So I have health insurance. I just started working. I was working in retail when I happened to realize my body was letting me know something is wrong with you, girl. Go get checked. And I just started a full-time position working for the government under a government contract. So I took my good insurance. And I went
know
to
that's
the-
right.
And I told him, I said, you know, I need you to check me. I need you to run some good work on me. I want you to check me for hypertension and diabetes. And he said, well, what makes you think you have that? I said, because my family history. Diabetes is on both sides, maternal and paternal. Hypertension runs on my father's side. I know for sure. I'm not sure 100% on my mother's side. So he ran the test. Well, your blood pressure's fine. Okay. So what's up with the diabetes? My A1C was out of whack, way out of whack.
Okay, wow.
And, you know, just the fact that I knew that. And I remember even when I went off to college at 18, 19, maybe 20 years old, asking my dad, well, what kind of health issues runs on your side? And then I asked him, what kind of health issues run on your side? Didn't have a reason, just wanted to know.
Right.
So, you know, just having that knowledge and when your body starts giving you messages, you can take your knowledge of your family history and relay that to your doctor and say, okay, I need a complete blood panel done so I can know what my signs, what my numbers are for every single thing that affects my body, that may have an effect on my body.
Right.
You know, just to touch on diabetes a little more, the A1C has to be no higher than 150 for someone 13 and up. If it goes for me, you know, just because I deal with it. If it goes above 150, I start to have migraines. I get sleepy. Okay. You know, my mouth, you know, I may be thirsty or maybe dehydrated. It's just so many indications as to what is wrong, you know, when you could tell, okay, I need to take my medication or I need to go to the doctor because this is not normal for me. This is not my normal routine. And it's just a matter of making sure your A1C, I believe, I'm looking at my slides. A1C is within that range of 90 to 150, depending on your body mass index. Everything in the medical field is based on your height and weight. The way they give you, the way they supply your medicine, that's based on your height and weight. So it shouldn't be nowhere. I'm sorry, I stated that wrong. It should be no less than 140, and no higher than 159 for type for pre-diabetes. I'm sorry. And you know, type 2 diabetes is more in common than is more common and can develop at any age, but it's more common in people who are older than 40. I'm 36, Lord spare life. But you know, it's just an important matter to know your family history and the things that can affect you either at an early age or as you get older. You know, as our bodies get older, our body goes through changes.
Yes, it does.
1 year you can love watermelon, and next year, a couple of years down the line, you could be allergic to it, like myself.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It's true.
You know, a lot of stuff changes as you get older, so you have to be on point with your health at all times. Just as, you know, touch on a couple of symptoms of diabetes, your increased thirst, frequent urination, extreme hunger, unexplained weight loss, fatigue, irritability, your vision changes. If you start seeing sores on your body and it's healing slowly, that could be a sign. And frequent infections within your teeth, skin, vaginal infections in women, a couple of risk factors. Like I said, family history, environmental factors, the presence of damaging immune system cells, the geography, weight and activities, race or ethnicity, age, gestational diabetes, which women develop when they're pregnant sometimes, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is also a factor that increased my chances of becoming a diabetic. I was diagnosed with PCOS about 16 or 17 years old. High blood pressure, abnormal cholesterol and triglyceride levels. Another health issue that affects African Americans is hypertension.
We all know
that in our blood community, African American community, we love our seasoned foods, our greens, sweet potatoes, all the good stuff that we had at our family reunion that we probably shouldn't have had, but we enjoyed it. And that affects us, including children's and teens. It increases the risk of us having a stroke, heart failure, kidney failure, and other conditions. It's known as a silent killer, and it's something that you don't feel coming. You don't have a detection of that until it happens. And then with the normal blood range, the normal range for a high blood, for blood pressure, is 120 over 80.
Okay.
If you have a reading of anything over 120 of 80, it could be elevated. You could be stage one of hypertension, which is a mild case. Then you have stage two, which is 140 over 90 or higher. That's moderate. And then if it goes over 180 over 20, you have to get emergency care immediately. A lot of doctors recommend that you take an aspirin every day to reduce your chances of having a stroke. So if you're on high blood pressure medicine, you may want to include an aspirin, a baby aspirin is what they call it, every day when you take your medication. For us, people, persons 18 years of age and over who've had high blood pressure from 2017 to 2018, we were 1.1 in men, 1.5 in women, and that is stats given from the CDC in 2020.
Okay, thank you.
You can, symptoms of hypertension, you get headaches, nosebleeds, fatigue or confusion. Your vision may get blurred. You may feel a little pain in your chest. Your breathing may become difficult. You may have an irregular heartbeat.
That's okay.
Urine, pounding, the sensation of pounding in your chest, neck, or ears. And the risk factors with that is also age, race, family history, obesity, physical inactivity, tobacco use, too much sodium, and too little sodium in your diet. Too much alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah. You love a little good juice every now and again.
Yes, that's good to know. I didn't realize that.
Stress can truly, truly affect your blood pressure, whether it's personal stress, like personal things you're going through, and you just keep playing over and over in your head, that can cause your blood pressure to rise. Your job, anything that you just can't stop thinking about, it can affect your blood pressure. And that leads to kidney disease, sleep apnea, and diabetes as well. And another thing, go ahead.
I said, this is good.
Another thing that affects us as African Americans is our cholesterol. We have good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. It is an important factor for our health and is needed to making cell walls, tissues, hormones, vitamin D, and bile acid. Too much cholesterol in your blood, it can combine with other substances to form plaque, and that is the buildup that forms in your within your heart walls. And it can and it becomes known as atherosclerosis.
Yes.
The normal cholesterol is below 200 for total cholesterol. The LDL is 130, needs to be below 130. And the HDL needs to be 50 and higher in women and 40 and higher in men. High cholesterol, which a lot of us deal with, is 240 or higher total. The LDL is 160 or higher, and the HDL has to be below 40. The HDL is the high density lipoprotein, and that's the good cholesterol because it carries the cholesterol from parts of your body back to your liver, and then the liver removes the cholesterol from your body. And the LDL is the low density lipoprotein, which is called the bad cholesterol, because a high LDL level leads to buildup of plaque in your arteries. There's also a level called VLDL, which is very low density lipoprotein. And that's also called bad cholesterol, because it contributes to the buildup of plaque in the arteries. It mainly carries triglycerides, and the LDL carries the cholesterol. Our symptoms, high cholesterol is one thing that cannot be tested by a blood test.
That's true.
I'm sorry. No, it can be tested by a blood test. I'm reading my slide wrong. I'm sorry.
One
way to detect it is through your blood test. Usually my doctor has me on high cholesterol because, you know, the pandemic hit and the cooking was good. We were eating good. But
I think for a lot of people.
We were eating good food, but it was, you know, causing little issues within the body. And that can only be tested, depending on your insurance, I'll say it like that. It can only be tested one time a year. And, of course, that's caused by unhealthy eating habits, lack of physical inactivity, and smoking. They tend to rise as you get older, even though it's less common. Younger people, including children and teens, can also have high cholesterol. It's hereditary. It can be caused by your weight being overweight or having obesity raises your cholesterol level. And the race, you know, African Americans, typically have higher HDL and LDL cholesterol levels than Caucasian. Preventive care for us to get control of our diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol, any other health issues. Is it changing your diet by portion control, drinking less carbonated drinks by replacing it with water, because water does help your meal better digest than anything else. And as I said, always knowing your status with your health, attending routine doctor visits for your health to keep your health in control. And taking your medications as prescribed, routine physical activity. A lot of us as African Americans do have underlying health issues, and that can also lead to other health issues if we don't control it, such as renal failure, chronic kidney disease, heart disease, congestive heart failure, and various infections. I do want to double back to the diabetes. Just a little education point, which I pointed out at the family reunion. The way you test your diabetes, to test your blood sugar. Always test it on your non-dominant hand. And when you go to prick your finger, prick it on the side, because within your tips are your sensors. And if you destroy those sensors, you won't have any feeling in that finger. And you always use either your index, your middle, or your ring finger to test it. Never use the first drop of blood, because that can give inaccurate reading. You always use the set. You clean that off and use a second drop.
I see.
But but overall, I encourage everyone to learn their family medical history, so that you can know what you may have to deal with down the line if you don't properly care for yourself.
Wow! And this is really important, pertinent, pivotal information. Thank you so much, Mrs. Brockington. Ms. Brockington, this is really good. Just breaking down the information for us. I remember, 2020 in terms of when the government and was just talking about the COVID 19 patients with, underlining, medical conditions. And, like you said, based on culture, based on community, based on sometimes unsustainable housing conditions, that we as the Dawson people, and then there's other communities where they're just in a uphill battle just for survival, the natural things, good food. And, here in Charlotte, we have some desert communities. And so all of these things, stress, worrying how, parents worrying and concerned about how they're going to take care of their children, how they're going to send them to school, how they're going to send them to college, all those things weighing, gunshots and all violence and stuff like that. And that weighs on us as a people. But thank you for allowing us to say, hey, in spite of the community, in spite of the setbacks, in spite of, as Dr. Benjamin said a little earlier, some of the oppression that we've gone through for 400 years, how can we now take charge and advocate for ourselves to know that we're built, Hidden Figures, females, sending the men to astronauts, things like that. And that we have the goods, and being able to educate our families and educate our friends and our community on diabetes, on hypertension, and on high cholesterol. So thank you. Just a job well done. What we're going to do, Ms. Brockington, is we're going to go ahead and open up the lines and, calls, and we have text people coming. We'll either ask questions through text. And so just stay tuned. Dr. Ron, did you want to add something quickly? Are you okay? Dr. Ron sometimes is at the office, and he could be multitasking. What I'll do until Dr. Ron comes back. Shaquetta?
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking in terms of there was high cholesterol, right? You want to go over the LDL, because sometimes that gets to be Greek to us. And then you mentioned the, it was the other one, LDL. Yeah, just explain that a little bit more.
LDL and VLDL.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. The HDL is a high-density lipoprotein, and that is what they call the good cholesterol. It carries cholesterol from other parts of your body back to your liver, and your liver removes that cholesterol from your body. That is the cholesterol. I actually want to pull something up real quick in regards so I can let me go to the other slide because it's right there. For normal cholesterol levels, your HDL should be 50 or higher for women and 40 or higher for men. Your total cholesterol for normal cholesterol must be below 200. The LDL, which is the lower density cholesterol, has to be below 300 to be considered normal. Mm-hmm. Anything above that, say ranging from 130 to 159, is borderline high cholesterol for LDL, which is the low-density lipoprotein cholesterol.
Okay.
And HDL cholesterol has to be between 40 and 49, which is also a borderline number. And that total cholesterol number should be nowhere less than 200 and no more higher than 239 to be considered borderline.
Okay.
Now, when you get high cholesterol, that total cholesterol is 240 or higher as a total, HDL, LDL, and VDL total out. The LDL in itself is 160 or higher, and the HDL is below 40, and that puts you in the level of having high cholesterol. Even the cholesterol, like I said, you know, most insurances only allow you to test those levels once a year.
Wow,
you still have that time frame between the time you get tested and be diagnosed as either having borderline or high to reduce those numbers. And that's why medication, you know, a lot of people, whether it's hypertension, high cholesterol, diabetes, I struggle with my medicine. I'm not going to tell no fifth.
Right. Because you need to, I think you need to, it's daily, am I correct? Right.
Huh?
You were required to take it daily, am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, that could be challenging.
And my cholesterol medication, it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And being that I have underlying health issues, that puts me at risk for other health issues and even puts me at a greater risk for contracting COVID, which, by the grace of God, I have not contracted it, and I have been surrounded by people who have had it. And, me and my daughter have a bin of medication, vitamins, cold medicine, that we take daily, especially just the vitamins, our vitamins daily to build up our immune system so that we don't have to, or that if we contract any kind of illness, not just COVID, the antibodies to fight.
Okay, that's good.
And prolong the illness. You know, a lot of people do not do vitamins, and I encourage everybody to do vitamins, because if you don't take your medicine like you're supposed to, you better have something in your system to help you fight them colds.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And a lot of people don't believe in medication.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people prefer to do herbal medication.
Right.
And that's totally fine. That's your cup of tea. Just make sure you have the right herbal medication to fight what your body is battling.
Oh my goodness, that is so important. You're right. Yes.
I know I'm only 36, but a lot of people will probably bug out if I say these two words: life everlasting. Life everlasting is a herb that used to grow in the woods in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would use it for colds. Colds that are coming on or colds that are onset, and would basically almost knock the cold out your body within a certain time frame. But at some point, the government got hip to it and pulled up, burned the bushes. They sell it in the stores, and you have herbalists who sell it in their personal businesses.
Okay.
That's a natural herb that can help you. Right. Growing up, we did, Mommy had us taking Father John and casserole.
Yes, yes.
My daughter said, you. Father John and casserole, and I kid you not, I remember coming home from college with a cold, and my mom gave me Father John and casserole. Before Sunday came, we returned to Georgia. I was all better.
See, you know, knocked it right out of you.
It's the old-time remedies that can even overpower the new medication that the CDC and other organizations are coming up with. Because Big Pharma, that's what they call the medical company, Big Pharma.
Yes.
You know, you got herbal stuff that can take care of things, but you have to know what to use and when to use it and how long to use it. Because some things are not meant to be used long-term.
Okay, I see. Wow.
So
either way, you have to do your due diligence and know what is good for your body.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Okay.
And, with our diet?
Yes.
Fruits, vegetables are higher than fast food and everything unhealthy.
Yes.
What's the solution to that? We can't afford the fruit. We can't afford this. My grandfather, God rest his soul, was a gardener. He grew every fruit that he could plant in his yard in Red Top.
Wow. Yes.
So that's the solution for us as African Americans, or just people in general, not necessarily African Americans, but people in general. If you go in the grocery store and you looking at the fruits and vegetables wanting to eat healthy, but that's $5-$10 a bundle or a piece, you know, you're going to go to the freezer section and take the easy way out.
True.
But fresh fruits and vegetables plays a major part in our health. And gardening can subside that, cut the cost for that, because all you're doing is going to Home Depot and buying the seeds and planting them in your ground, making sure you have the dirt, you know, and making sure you water it properly. That's the solution. Mm-hmm. Just do your own gardening, and you're eating healthy food straight out the ground, or as they say, organic.
That's good. Wow. I have a question. Do you know the young lady out in, I believe it's Charleston? She has the garden, African-American young lady. And she was featured on television. Do you know who that is?
No.
No,
I
not
don't.
Right offhand. I'm going to find out who that is. Yeah. Hold on a second, Quetta. Let me just see if Dr. Ron is back. Dr. Ron? Dr. Ron? Okay, so he's not back as yet. All right, so what we'll do is, I don't control my lines or nothing like that. Actually, if I went into the switchboard, I could do it. But, this is very, very needed. It's just amazing because it goes back to loving yourself and saying, I have one life that I've been giving, and I've been given a certain amount of time on this earth, and that no matter how critical life is and all the things that are going on, that we are yet responsible to help prolong our life into living maximized life. And as Ms. Brockington, you're saying, is building up yourself nutritionally. And then also, it's interesting because even when it comes down to herbs, you saying, you know, just being educated on how long you take those herbs, how much you take, regardless of who's selling it, you know, those type of things, what's in the herbs. And even the herbs itself can have side effects. And and then, you know, this is something I just want to throw in there, getting enough sleep. And then with the stress, when you mentioned the hypertension, I think it was 2 days ago, I could see that a family member was just trying to be a little irky. And I got up today and I just said, you know what? I'm going to have to deal with this because it's starting to bother me. You know what I mean? And because, you know, relationships or job stress or whatever it may be, community or bills, you know, you find yourself, okay, I'm about to stress, but you don't have to stress. You do have to deal with certain challenges in relationship and get it at the root. Otherwise, it'll start growing, you know, while you're sleeping or, you know, you and the, you know, going to the bathroom and then, you know, wee in the morning and it's, you find that it's on your mind. And sometimes you have to use wisdom to know when to deal with it, how to deal with it, and to whom to
right.
talk, you know, to a person about it so that you don't have to stress. Max Pham, you know, that's so important. Excuse me, Dr. Ron, are you back? Okay, I don't know if Dr. Ron went to sleep on us, but we'll continue. I wish we could have got some more Q&A in, especially while you're here. Let's see if I can text him. There was something, you know, I just to be a little transparent, you know, I have high cholesterol, and it's so interesting because it seems like yearly as I was attempting to get the numbers down and, you know, Ms. Washington, you know how I eat. I mean, sometimes I could take more portion than what I should be getting, but I'm learning now that even if when I would go out to a restaurant, instead of eating an entire meal, I'll just divide that plate in half and then I'll have, you know, I'll take the other portion home. So I'm learning that it is about portions. But for years, I would just be eating oatmeal. I mean, most of the time, that's what I'm usually having. Every now and then, I'll have grits or something like that. And if I go to my mother's, then I'll have the sausage. But, you know, as you know, as far as maternal on our side, from our granddad, who's no longer living, he had the challenge of the hypertension and the high cholesterol. And he became legally blind. And so we got to see how devastating this particular disease can be. And with high cholesterol, I was young when I learned I had gotten high cholesterol. And the thing about it, it wasn't my primary care physician who caught it. I went to a dermatologist because I was about 14 years old or something like that, maybe 18, and I started breaking out in my face. And then he was able, he took a test and he saw it. And I'm like, what? You mean something? I'm going to the doctor yearly and they're not catching it. And from then on, I just went on to this kind of wild type of regimen, a lot of salad, oatmeal for sure. With and we're talking about the Quaker oats, you know, most of the time with no sausage, no bacon, you know, most of the time no eggs. And then walking and exercising to get it down. And then I just realized, like, it, I think in the two or three years ago, it was like the lowest, but still considered cholesterol. And, but I watch, you know, the amount of sleep that I get. I guard that. I do what I can to guard my peace. I run when there's war. I'm just like, you know what? No, if I don't really need to engage in it, you have war by yourself, that type of thing. But just to watch, you know, from any, you know, just those triggers. And so in terms of diabetes, watching those level became borderline, and I didn't really share it with a lot of people because I felt like sometimes, Ms. Brockington, because something may run in the family, once you get it, they're like, oh, are you all right? Or, you know, like, yeah, you're going to always be in the club. No, I'm not going to be in this club. You know, 57 years old, and it hit me at like 56, and I was just like, wow. But again, perhaps part of the pandemic, I was going to barbecues and eating the barbecue stuff, and I'm like, I don't really have a lot of this macaroni and cheese. And I believe at one point before I got to Charlotte, when I lived in Jersey, I cut out mac and cheese. So when I got here, it was like mac and cheese every Sunday. And I'm just like, oh, no, I don't eat like this. And they're looking at me like, what? But I was like, no, I really don't eat like this. And you kind of go with the crowd. So it does take a lot of strength to say, no, thank you. You know, or if I have seafood, then I learned seafood had cholesterol. And my family, you know, look, Southerners, you know, from Yvonne to Margaret and Mom, you know, it's like they have it, oh, gosh, out of 7 days, at least 3 days a week. And I'm like, nope, met my quota. And it does take discipline. You know, Max found it takes discipline. I'm just going to check in and see. Dr. Ron, are you there? Okay, I hope Dr. Ron didn't go to sleep on us. But at any rate, you know, so it is important that you do it for you. And for those that are married, you do it for yourself, then you do it for your spouse. And if you have children, then you do it for your children. And then you teach your children how to eat healthy, how to get their rest, getting them to bed at a certain time. And movement is so important. We're so privileged because where I live, you know, we have the parking lot and then we have the sidewalk and the street, and you can just walk around the entire complex. It's about, it doesn't look like it, but it's about 183 apartments, and it just walk. And so I'll do that, or make sure when I'm going to the grocery store that I'll park my car far. And all of those types of exercising is really helpful. And it just, you know, helps you to, my sister's giving me some, let's see. Yes, I'll make this announcement. I'll cut myself off really quickly. Yeah, Dr. Ron is the producer and he handles the switchboard. So if you have questions, and we don't get them tonight, we can certainly answer those questions next week. Or you can give me a call at 862-205-9077, and I can forward the questions to Ms. Brockington, and we can answer it then, because this was a very hot topic. You know, as I said to you, we got news about a friend of ours, co-host, Minister Greg Hall, Professor Greg Hall, who passed away, and I know he handled a lot of that, you know, that type of just finding out and different things that they were doing just to, you know, to know whereabouts and all this other stuff. And so just bear with us, audience, Max Fam. And again, when it comes down to high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or hypertension, and diabetes, you want to know your status. You want to know your numbers. And then once you're borderline, if you are borderline, as Ms. Brockington said, you have a year, get it together, make changes. And if you're not borderline, same thing. You still can get it together, make those changes, and you know, decide you just don't want to live, but you want to live an abundant life. You want to live a maximized life. And that's what this show is called, you know, maximize your life. And we want to build you up to use your ability, your talents, your abilities, and your giftings so that you can have maximum impact, making the most of where you are in life and in leadership. And in order to be an effective leader, you must have your personal life intact. If it's not intact, you want to get it intact. You want to, and this, what I'll do, Ms. Brockington, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I want to thank you for taking out the time out of your busy schedule just to be with us and to talk about your journey being a medical assistant and your journey, your goals towards becoming a nurse, and also helping us to understand it is important for us as an individual to know our health and to know our family medical history. And so I thank you so much. Max Fam, again, if you have questions, definitely give me a call, 862-205. I do apologize in terms of our switchboard tonight. Please get the questions to us. Also, as I'm closing and wrap this up, this particular segment, I want to tell you about our MBI Life and Leadership Academy. It begins Monday, March 13th. Monday, March 13th. We have the author's track. If you want to become an author, I am a number one Amazon best-selling author, Kingdom Builders in Business. I also have another book, The Unending Love of a Father, and I could help you become an author. I could help you map out a plan, decide where you are and where you want to go. also we have the track of ministry development. I worked in administration, and I worked with administrators for about 30 years, where we can help you build a ministry, build your committees, grow your church ministry, and understanding especially the innovative ways of doing ministry here and in 2021. And then there's also the business track. Last week we had Margareta Young on. We can help you set up your LLC, your nonprofit. We can come in, I do trainings, and again, teaching you where you are, your company, your corporation, and taking you from A to Z in terms of building your business. And you want to get started with a program development. I assist in creating curriculums, creating programs, creating in proposal writing. And again, I'm surrounding you, Max Fam, with people who have the goods. Tonight, we brought on Miss Brockington, professional at what she does. And she can also do some workshops, you know. And, Miss Brockington, you did a phenomenal job. So if I was able to do the hand clap, I'll do that now. Woo-hoo! You know, thank you. We're going to close it at this moment. And again, we pray for the Hall family, his father and his relatives, and we pray for anyone who has lost a friend or family member. We pray for our president, vice president, our government, and we pray for the churches. We pray for people in the mosque, the temple. We pray, for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. We pray for our brothers and sisters in New York, and we pray and we just send the blessing of God, the peace of God, also to the children who are still in Mexico and the border, and people who are trying to escape the different cities and countries. We pray for the people in Haiti as well as Louisiana and anywhere else. You know, we just pray for the peace of God. We pray for the power of God. And we just decree a blessing upon you and your household. Thank you, Dr. Winborn. Thank you, Dr. Ron. Ms. Brockington, thank you so much, and audience. God bless you, and have a great night. Maximize your life. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.